Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We are looking at the life of David. You know that. And so we're in 1 Chronicles 15 right now, getting a little more detail than what we saw in Samuel about what happened when David brought the Ark of the Covenant into town, and he brings it in, and he's going to place it in a tent that he had set up for it. And we saw the difficulty they had, saw that David went back and read the instructions on it. Now he's got the Levites and their relatives doing what they're supposed to do, carrying the ark in the way they're supposed to. And he's appointing them for worship. And we went up to the 18th verse of 1 Chronicles 15. And he spoke to them about getting the singers together. The instrumentalists together, yes, and the singers together, and the gatekeepers. Now, verse 19, we've got some more names. So here we go. So the singers, Heman, Asaph, and Ethan, were appointed to sound aloud cymbals of bronze. Now, I can have a lot of fun with that right there. The singers, you have these three singers, Heman, Asaph, and Ethan. And these would have been singers, I suspect, that were in charge of other singers. And they were appointed to sound aloud cymbals of bronze. So the singers were playing cymbals. Yes, you're right. The drummer is singing. That's what's going on here. You actually see that a lot in worship. Verse 20, and Zechariah, and Aziel, and Shemiramoth, and Jehiel, and Uni, and Eliab, and Maaseiah, and Benaniah, with harps tuned to Alamoth. Harps tuned to Alamoth. That last word, Alamoth, is A-L-A-M-O-T-H. And we really don't know what it means. It could mean like a young woman, a soprano. It's at the heading of a psalm. Yeah, that type of thing. But it's probably tuned with higher tuning or the soprano type range of a voice. Okay, so he's getting very precise, David is, how to tune these things. He continues, verse 21, naming people. And Mattaniah, and Eliphelua, and Micniah, and Obed-Edom, Jael and Azaziah, to lead with lyres tuned to the Sheminith. Tuned to the Sheminith. And so what he's saying is, hey, I want these singers right here, and I want these singers, as they're singing, I want them to make an appointed sound loud on cymbals of bronze. Oh, my, I just thought of something. Could it be? Oh, no. Could it be that the singers were playing tambourines? Okay, they're playing tambourines. And it's sort of a running joke in worship teams and everything. Nothing wrong with a tambourine. It's just like a cowbell. A little bit goes a long ways, okay? And they have their place, everything. But currently where I worship, my daughter is the chief worship leader, and she is very anti-tambourine. I don't know if it's because she's had experience in her upbringing with tambourine. I suspect that's what it is, because we used to have people in the audience, in the congregation, that brought tambourines to play. That's great. But when you get three or four tambourines going in a small room with five or six dozen people, forget about musicality. We're just worshiping the Lord in spirit and truth. So I have sort of a running joke with it. I do have a tambourine laying at my feet. I just thought about that. I need to play it with my foot sometime. I've got it laid at my feet underneath my keyboard. And because it is, there's a place for that. Okay, but anyway, the singers are playing cymbals. You got these other guys right here who are playing harps, and then you got other guys, a bunch of other guys playing lyres, tuned to the Sheminith. They're playing guitars, guys, a bunch of guitars, not just one, but several. And the Sheminith means eighth. Okay, it's tuned to the eighth. You may be able to hear this. I just saw this. Can you hear this? Okay, that's an eighth from one C to another C. From one note to another one. Now, in our music, what we call 12-tone Western music, there's 12 notes in that eighth, from one eighth to another. There's 12 notes. But that's a rather recent thing, the 12-tone system. Bach sought to codify that. So 12-tone music's been around, let's say, 500 years. We'll be generous, okay? The music that's being spoken of here is a tonality that's very alien to our Western mind. It'd be quite similar to the tonality that you might hear in Asian music, if you ever hear Japanese or Korean or Chinese music. Instead of having 12 tones between the octave, between the eighth, they may have 17, 19, 21. As a matter of fact, I got a keyboard that I can actually tune to those type of tunings. And it's really interesting to play things like that. I've messed around with it some. It's sort of strange. Also, the tuning here, the tuning to the eighth, that tells you a lot. Our tuning is to the eighth. Okay, but the frequency may be different. As a matter of fact, those of y'all at Union Point, at the time of this recording, we just had our first worship service last night at a frequency conference. That's what they call it, a frequency conference, to make sure that you're in the right frequency with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the idea. But I got the biggest kick out of it because we actually had changed the frequency that we're tuning to. Traditionally, and by traditionally, I mean the last 80 years. Everything's been tuned to A440. So here's an A right here. That note right there. When I hit that right there, it creates a sine wave that's oscillating at 440 cycles per second. And I used to think, oh, that's the way it's always been. It isn't. It isn't. And as a matter of fact, in the 19th century, they would have tuned that A to 432 and not 440. Now, I can change this keyboard. I've actually done it with some songs. I actually had a gig I guess about a month ago right now, at a place downtown. So this is like a secular gig. I'm playing torch songs and things like that, and singing things like that. And I nearly did it with a 432 tuning. And the only reason I didn't, I wasn't sure how the sound system, if it affected it. And it doesn't. I've done research since, and it really doesn't affect that. But we are tuning to 444. We just did it last night, 444. And there are some amazing reasons for that that I think are actually valid. So we thought, well, why not? Let's just try it. So these are things that have been considered, folks, for millennia. David is given instructions right here, not only for who's to be in charge, not only for who's to do what. The singers are the singers. Singers play the cymbals. These other guys are to play guitars. Some other folks play harps. But he's giving the tuning. He's telling the harps, hey, I want y'all to play up here in this high range right here, up here where the sopranos sing. And then he's telling the lyres, hey, I want you to make sure that you have these things tuned to the eighth, tuned to the eighth. Then verse 22, 1 Chronicles 15, Shechaniah, chief of the Levites, was in charge of the singing. He gave instruction in singing because he was skillful. Don't you love that? He gave instruction in singing because he was skillful. Well, was he skillful in singing, or was he skillful in giving instruction in singing, or both? And you say, well, what do you mean? Because most people, when you hear this thing that he was skillful, you're thinking, oh, he's skillful in singing. Not necessarily so, folks. I know people who are phenomenal singers in whatever genre of music they're doing. And also, somebody's phenomenal in one genre of music may not be phenomenal in another genre, okay? But they're phenomenal singers. But they are clueless as to how to communicate that, much less help somebody to draw out their singing within them. Okay? Then there's other people, and I've actually experienced a lot of this. There are other people that are great, great at teaching and training and drawing out the music and showing somebody how to sing. But when you hear them sing, a lot of times it's okay and it's all right, but it's, I don't want to say it's not very pleasing, but it's just like one in a million. I mean, one in, out of every 10, it's just not something special, you know, but they're great at drawing it out of somebody. Okay. Then there are some, okay. Then there are some that do both. And I know some that are like that, too. They're phenomenal singers. But, man, when you sing with them, they draw it out of you. When you worship with them, when you play with them, there's no pride. There's no arrogance. They lead by that example. So you see all this happening right here. You see David orchestrating all this because he wants to give the best that they have as an offering of worship to the Lord. Hey, may we do likewise. Well, again, I'm Dale. We'll continue on the next episode. I'll see y'all then. Goodbye.